Right. Next, we have Sean Walker, who is talking about his session is Trailblazer, good pun, building dynamic applications with Blazor. I am a total Blazor noob, so I'm very excited. How are you, Sean? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, thanks. All right. Send it away to you, and I'll be back in half an hour with some tweets.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm really excited to be able to speak at .NET Conf. I've been in the .NET ecosystem for a long time. I've done lots of presentations over that time, but I've never spoken at .NET Conf, so quite excited. And as Maddie mentioned, I'm talking about building dynamic applications with Blazor. So I'm Sean Walker. I guess my claim to fame is that I was the original creator of a very popular open source project called .NET Nuke. Also Microsoft MVP, ASP Insider. Most recently, I've been working on another open source project for Blazor called Octane. I'm going to be sharing that today. And I'm also the chair of the .NET Foundation Project Committee, where we evaluate any sort of .NET-based open source projects that want to become members of the foundation and help them with various services that the foundation can provide. So today we're going to talk about dynamic applications. This is kind of a loaded topic in the sense that a lot of people call them by different names. Some people call them plugin applications. Some people call them modular applications, but we can, you know, roll it up and call them dynamic applications, at least for the sake of this presentation. So what are the benefits of dynamic applications, and what are dynamic applications? They're applications that have sort of extensibility built in as a key feature, and to do this, they're built in a very loosely coupled manner so that they can be extended with new features. They allow for parallel development, so the application is broken down into smaller pieces that can be developed in parallel by different teams. They typically follow some sort of conventions, or at least the underlying framework will define some well-defined contracts which they can implement, and that usually leads to more consistent and predictable outcomes. They try to practice encapsulation so that features can be developed in a self-contained manner and have a singular focus and responsibility. And as far as deployment goes, the idea is that if, based on the fact that the features can be developed independently from one another, they can also be deployed independently from one another using any of the modern deployment approaches like CI/CD. So a lot of great benefits with dynamic applications. Only problem is dynamic applications are very difficult to create. And as a result of that, developers typically rely on web application frameworks to help do a lot of the heavy lifting. You can build a completely dynamic application from scratch, but I mean, it's going to take a lot of time and effort. So that's why developers typically rely on frameworks. So one of the concepts which has become very popular in the industry in recent years is this concept of batteries included. So basically, a framework that provides you with all of the basic components that you need to immediately get up and running. And so when you think of, you know, ASP.NET, for instance, it has a lot of great capabilities out of the box. But some of the challenge with ASP.NET is it doesn't really put them together in a way so that you can easily get started. Of course, there's some very simple templates and things that you can use. But the idea behind the batteries included framework is it actually gives you an architecture to start with and some, you know, guidelines that you can follow to actually get started very quickly when you're building applications. If we look at some of the popular batteries included type frameworks that exist on other platforms, for Java, of course, there's Spring. On Ruby, there's Rails. For Python, there's Django. PHP, there's Symfony. And of course, there's many, many others. These are just some of the most popular batteries included frameworks. And developers have used these frameworks for years to be very successful in building very powerful applications that are dynamic in nature. The question comes up, is a content management system also a dynamic application? In some senses, yes, it is. But I would argue that content management systems are really more focused on very specific use case, and that is managing content. So where a content management system would like to deliver features for things like workflow and content versioning and content localization and a lot of those kind of robust content-focused features, an actual modular or dynamic framework doesn't need to concern itself with those things. You could build a CMS, of course, on top of a dynamic framework, but a CMS isn't by itself a dynamic framework. So if we now look at .NET, I mean, both .NET Framework and .NET Core, it's important to note that frameworks are one of the primary drivers of platform adoption. This is true of any platform, of any language, you know, any technology. So we look at .NET, there are a few sort of web frameworks that have become, or dynamic web frameworks that have been popular over time. I was involved with the original .NET Nuke project, which has since been rebranded as DNN. Umbraco is another popular web framework that developers use to build applications. And Orchard is another also very popular framework. All of these frameworks were originally developed on the .NET framework, and only Orchard so far has actually been migrated to .NET Core. And in fact, even Orchard hasn't been officially released in an official sort of 1.0, RTM type of a version, although it's well on its way, and I expect that would happen anytime. But I sort of see that there's a need for a framework that was built from the ground up based on .NET Core that you could build dynamic applications with. So when Blazor was announced in, late 2017, early 18 from Microsoft, it was very exciting because, Blazor is built around a very powerful component model. And it uses like the modern single page application model that allows you to build highly interactive web applications using .NET Core. This is exactly the type of technology which is perfect for building dynamic applications. So at that point, I got started building a new framework, and that framework I named Octane, and I'm positioning it as a modular application framework for Blazor. It is a member of the .NET Foundation already. It's an open source project, and it does allow you to build dynamic applications, which I'm going to demonstrate today. So what is Octane? It is a batteries included framework for .NET Core, and it uses Blazor. It allows you to rapidly create modern web applications using less code. It provides you with a robust set of building blocks and services that you can build on that are already available out of the box. It's open source under an MIT license, which is a very permissive open source license. And as I mentioned, it's a member of the .NET Foundation. The framework is designed to be very flexible in the sense that you can run it both on the Blazor server hosting model as well as the Blazor WebAssembly hosting model. And I like to refer to it as rocket fuel for Blazor. Some of the capabilities that Octane provides, which are, I guess, over and above what you would get with a Blazor implementation out of the box, are things like multi-tenancy, sort of a dynamic routing capability. And I'll explain all of these as I do my demo. But it has a portal UI framework, which allows you to administrate the application interactively through the browser. It has a very modular architecture, so it's very plug and play. It has a more robust permission model that you can implement in your dynamic extensions and create like very secure applications. You can change the look and feel through customizable themes. It has a very extensive administrative user interface for interacting with the backend kind of framework entities. And it has a full headless API and a repository behind it because it's built in a client server manner to be consistent with the single page application architecture. In fact, this is a sort of an overview of what the architecture looks like. So it is very broken down between the server considerations and the client considerations. On the server side, of course, you've got your REST API. You've got the ability to run scheduled jobs using the iHosted service capability of .NET Core, the multi-tenancy capabilities as well. All of this built on .NET Core and, of course, EF Core as well. On the client side, we're using Blazor. And on top of Blazor, we have some API wrappers, which allow you to communicate with the backend very simply. We've got our portal UI framework, which provides you with the sort of user interface capabilities and constructs that you would use to build your modules. And you can, of course, run, it's multi-tenant, so you can run as many sites as you want out of a single installation. But the cool thing is you can also separate the tenants so that you have independent, you can have one installation of Octane, but you can have individual tenants that keep their data physically separated from one another. So with that, I'm going to dive straight into the demo. So first off, I'm going to show you a standard Blazor application on .NET 5. This is, in fact, a Blazor WebAssembly application. And we can tell that by looking at the index.html page, and we can see it's loading the Blazor.WebAssembly JavaScript file. We could take a look at one of the components, which is in the pages folder, and we can see that there's some content here that it's going to display, and there's an embedded component as well. But you can see that a lot of this content is all very hard-coded as part of the application. The route that's defined here, which is sort of the default route for the application, is also hard-coded within the component itself. So this is what I would classify as a static application. And by static, I mean, if you want to modify the behavior of this application, you actually have to change the source code, and you actually have to deploy a new version of the application in order for that functionality to be available to an end user. That is what a static application is. And I'm going to demonstrate and contrast to you what a dynamic application is. But first of all, I mean, let's take a look at this application. This is the, you know, the default template that is provided with Blazor WebAssembly. So once you're running it, it creates a very simple site for you. It's got a home page with some basic content on it. It's got a counter page, which is a counter component, and if you click it, it increments the counter. It's got a fetch data page, which actually is loading some static information related to a weather forecast, but it's doing that over an HTTP service, so it demonstrates how you can do that. And that's sort of the extent of the default template for WebAssembly for Blazor in .NET 5. So what we're going to do is we're going to take this static application as it exists, and we're going to convert it to a dynamic application. And how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to use Octane for that. So I'm going to go into Octane now, and this is the latest source code from the Octane repository. If we actually go to the GitHub repository for Octane, we just released actually version 2 yesterday, which is based on .NET 5. And so the latest source code has been upgraded for .NET 5 already. So going back to Visual Studio, this is like the standard code that I've downloaded from GitHub. If I open the server project and I open the appsettings.json file, we can see here that by default, it's configured to run on Blazor server. But as I mentioned before, it also can run on Blazor WebAssembly. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to run the application. So it's going to do a build, and then it's going to fire up the browser. Because I don't have a connection string specified in my appsettings.json file, it knows that I need to install the application. By default, it's going to use a local DB instance, and I'm going to set up my default account for interacting with the application. I'm going to set up just a bogus email address for now. I say install now. And what it's doing behind the scenes is it's actually installing all of the database entities which are required for Octane to run. And so by default, once the application comes up, you'll see that there's a basic look and feel of the application. There's some basic content that's displayed. There's a couple of pages displayed. I can go ahead and I can log in using that default account, which was created during installation. This is just using simple cookie-based authentication. So now that I'm logged in, I can see that there's actually a private page as well, which I have access to. So there's three pages here. There's a home page, there's a private page, and there's a my page. And behind the scenes, there's a whole rich set of functionality. For example, if I go into the control panel and I go into my admin dashboard, there's a lot of functionality in the admin portion of the application, which is available to you to use out of the box. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to my home page, and I'm going to get rid of all the content that exists on this home page. So I'm going to delete all of this content that's here right now. The reason is because I'm going to try to make this application, which is dynamic, look like the default Blazor application template. So I'm getting rid of all the content from this page. The home page is named home even in the Blazor template. So now I'll go to the private page. I'm going to get rid of the content that's on this page as well. So this is all very simple just by getting rid of content. But I'm also going to go in and I'm going to edit the page settings. So on the Blazor template, this page is called the counter page. And it has an icon, which I can set. And it's the icon is called it's just plus. And then I can go into the permissions and I can say that all users can view this page and I can save it. So now the page is called counter and it has the icon displayed. I'm going to go to the my page. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to remove the module from the page. Going to the settings. This page is called fetch data in the Blazor template. It has an icon, which is called list-rich. I don't want this page to be personalizable. That's a feature that's very specific to Octane. So I don't want it to be personalizable. Go into the permissions. It's already set up properly. And so that's all good to go. So now I've removed all the content. So now I have no content. So let's move forward from here and actually add some content. But first, I want to go into my admin dashboard, and I'm going to go into my site settings. And I've got a lot of different site settings that I can manage here. By default, it uses what we call an Octane theme. I'm going to change this to the Blazor theme. So the Blazor theme, and I want to use the default Blazor container as well. And I'm going to save this, and we're going to see dynamically, bang, we have a whole new look and feel for the site, which looks a lot like the Blazor template. So I'm going to go back to my homepage. And so now I want to start adding content back. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go into my control panel, into my module area, and I'm going to say, hey, I want to add an HTML text module to my page. And I'm going to call this, it's hello, comma, world, something like this. I'm going to add it to the main pane. All right, so that was added. And now I'm going to go into edit mode here, and I'm going to say I want to edit that content. And I have a rich text editor that I can use. I have actually some content here, which I can use. So I go into my raw HTML, and I can paste that, and I can save it, and bam. All right, so this looks a lot like the homepage now of the static Blazor WebAssembly app. So now on my counter page and my fetch data page, these are very sort of interactive pages of my site. This isn't static content, right? Because if you remember the counter page, if you clicked a button, it would increment. The fetch data page, it would show some weather forecast. So I'm going to close this for a moment, and I'm going to go back into Visual Studio, but a different Visual Studio project. So I'm going to go into a counter project that I've created. So this project is created independently from Octane. It's a completely separate, physically separated project outside of the Octane solution. But it, of course, references the Octane solution through dependencies. It's got a single index.razor file, which we're looking at here. And that index.razor is basically a razor component, and it allows you to increment a counter. It also has a package project, which is part of this solution. The purpose of this package project is that if I'm in debug mode, then it's going to execute a debug command, which is going to copy my assets, my DLL that's compiled, and it's going to copy it to my bin folder of my Octane instance automatically for me. I've also got a release command file as well. So if I compile this in release mode, it will actually create a NuGet package and copy it to Octane. But for now, I'm just going to compile this in debug mode. So if I compile it, rebuild this solution, we can see it building here. So it builds a couple of assemblies, and you can see it copied them, copied the DLL and the PDB file over to the Octane instance. Now I'm going to show you another project. This is the weather project. So the weather project is a little bit more elaborate. It's got a client project. It's also got a server project, and it's got a shared project as well. The client project basically is going to display a component which displays the weather forecast. How is it going to get the weather forecast? Well, it's going to call the server, and it's going to make an HTTP call, and it's going to try to get this weather.json file, which is stored on the server. So if we look in the server project, we can see the weather.json file is located in a special directory, which is based on the module name, so that we can keep modules separated from one another, but it's got the data. And then in the shared project, we've actually got our model, which is shared between the client and the server. And we've got our package project as well. So if I build this project now, it'll build, and it'll, because I built it in debug mode, it's going to copy the DLLs over to the Octane instance. So now, if I go back to my Octane instance and I fire it up, it's going to automatically recognize that there's a couple of new modules which were created for Octane, and it's going to load them. So if I go to my counter page, well, I want to add an instance of a counter module to this page. So I go into my module management, and I choose the counter. And I think that the counter on the other site has a title of probably counter. And we're going to add that to the page. All right, so it added it dynamically to my page. I can click it. It's working just fine. So my component is rendered dynamically and it's displaying it. So now if I go to my fetch data page, I can do the same thing. So I can choose the weather module. I'm going to name it weather forecast. And I can add an instance of the module to the page. And it got the information from the server and it displayed it on the page in exactly the same way that the static Blazor template did. So now I basically have duplicated the functionality of the basic Blazor template for WebAssembly, but I've done it in a totally dynamic way. Now, like these examples that I've shown you so far are pretty basic, right? They don't actually, like the components that were part of these counter and fetch data modules, they're really basic. They're not really what I would call real world examples. So let's create a real world example, an example that actually fetches some real data and allows you to interact with that data. So in order to do that in Octane, we've made that pretty easy for developers to get started. So I'm going to add a new page to my site. I'm going to call this page a conference page. And I'm going to add an icon to it just to make it look pretty. So I'll add a globe. Permissions, I'm going to let everyone see this, I guess. All right, so I've got a conference page now. It's created dynamically. This is another, of course, benefit of dynamic applications is that you can create things on the fly without having to deploy a whole new version of the application. But what I want to put on this conference page is actually a new module that has like actually interactive capabilities to it. So how am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to go into my module management area and I'm going to choose a different category of module. I'm going to choose developer modules. And we have something called the module creator. And so I'm going to call this module, it's going to be a list of sessions, right? And I'm going to add that module to the page. So it creates a module creator module, which will basically scaffold out a bunch of code for me to create a fully functional module. I'm going to call this netconf 2020 as my owner. I'm going to call this the session module, give it a description of session. I'm going to use a template. External template means that this is going to be created outside of the Octane solution. And I'm going to use a framework reference of version 2 because that's the latest that supports .NET 5. And I'm going to create the module. So when I do this, it scaffolds out all the code for me. And of course, because it does that, it needs to end the session because, I mean, I need to actually go and compile this module now. So I'm going to close this down. And I'm going to go onto my system here, and I'm going to find the NetConf 2020 session module, and I'm going to open the solution file. So it scaffolded out all this code for me automatically. And so we're going to open this up. All right, so it's created a client project, package project, server, and shared project. So I'm going to go into the client project. Going to go into the index component that was created for me. It created a bunch of content in here, which you know is basically documentation of all the different files that it created. I'm going to get rid of that because that's not super useful and it's not going to look pretty when I actually render this. So I'll save that. So we've got an index component, which is going to be rendered by default when the module is displayed. I've got an edit component so that I can manage the actual content. I've got a settings module for also managing some types of content. On the and we can also see we've got a services folder as well, which has all the wrappers to the services that it's going to call on the back end. On the back end, I've got my controller class, my session controller that was created. It's got a repository class, so it uses Entity Framework. It uses a script to basically provision the database entities for me. I've got a shared project as well with my session model in it. And this is the name, of course, the table that's going to be created. All of this was scaffolded for me automatically. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to build this. So when I build this, it's going to build all of those projects into their associated DLLs, and then it's going to deploy those DLLs to the Octane instance, and it also is going to deploy a few of the static resources which are necessary for this module as well. So now that that's happened, I can go back to my Octane instance and I can run it. And again, it's going to recognize the fact that there's a new module for managing sessions, and it's actually going to provision the database scripts for me as well. So I'm going to go into the conference page, and the module is already active for me because the DLLs were copied into place. So let's say I want to add a session. All right. So let's say I'm going to call it, Trailblazer Dynamic Application. Oops. Applications. All right. Save it. Saving it to the database. I can edit it. Save that. I can delete it. Right. So I've got all these capabilities. I can go into the settings to manage the settings. There's some settings here that I can enter as well that are not actually used in the module currently, but I mean, you have all of this capability. So that was a fully dynamic module that was created dynamically, and it's rendered dynamically into the Octane instance, and it provides full access to managing the database tables that are related to that as well. So now I told you earlier that Octane is capable of running in both Blazor Server and Blazor WebAssembly. So how would I do that? Well, it's pretty simple in Octane. I just change this one setting to WebAssembly, save that, rerun my application, and it's going to fire up on WebAssembly this time. And it's going to actually dynamically render my application, and miraculously, it rendered all of my modules, which I created as well. So when you create modules for Octane, if you create them in a client-server manner, they automatically work, whether you're running on Blazor Server or Blazor WebAssembly. All of these are 100% working. And we can go into the admin dashboard and look in the system info, and we can see, yep, we're running Blazor WebAssembly in this instance, running on .NET 5 and Octane 2.0. So that's the extent of my demo. And I'm going to switch back to my slides now. I only have a couple of minutes left, unfortunately. So the demo took a little longer than I was expected. But when you're building dynamic applications in .NET Core and Blazor, you need to pay attention to a number of very complicated things. So things like assembly loading, application startup, service registration, routing, how to dynamically render components, how to use or how to support multiple hosting models, and then how to deploy. And I have slides for all of this, which I'm going to move through very quickly. But I mean, in terms of assembly loading, .NET Core does not automatically load assemblies unless they're statically linked. And of course, in a dynamic application, they're not. So a dynamic application needs to statically load the loosely coupled assemblies. Luckily, we can do this using things like assembly load context, which is something that Octane takes advantage of. So you can, on startup, find the assemblies that need to be loaded and manually load them yourself. When you're running under WebAssembly, the assemblies need to be downloaded to the browser. Blazor is not going to do that for you automatically. It's only going to download the statically linked assemblies. So you need to take responsibility for that in your own framework. So Octane does that, and it uses the HTTP methods, HTTP client methods, to download the assembly using get byte array async and then load them into the app domain. Startup, another thing that you have to pay attention to. So third parties need to be able to dynamically provide additional configuration during startup. What we've done is create an iServer startup interface using the exact same stub methods that are used for application startup normally, and we allow third parties to implement those. And then we call the unique implementations that third parties provide as part of startup. Service registration. You can't allow, third parties to edit the startup, file, the code file as part of your project. You need to be able to dynamically inject service registration as part of the runtime. So we've done that by introducing an iService interface, which is discovered during startup, and then the services are automatically rendered, automatically registered. Routing. Blazor provides a default router using the at page directive, but that's very hard-coded into your page components. If you want to do that in a dynamic way, Blazor allows that. It allows you to override the default router, provide your own router. So Octane does that. We have our own site router, which we register in app.razor, and then the site router, it's just a standard Razor component. So you can see an example of that. Razor component rendering, so dynamically rendering components without including hard-coded references to component in your pages. That's something that a dynamic application needs to be able to do as well. And there is a nice sort of set of primitives that you can use within Razor to do that, using like builder.openComponent and closeComponent. These are primitives that you typically wouldn't use in Blazor applications, but they're available, and they're very, very useful in dynamic applications. And I think I'm well out of time here. So I'm going to skip past these, and I'll just say that Octane 2.0 has been released, been migrated to .NET 5 already. The main feature, aside from .NET 5 support, is localization support, and I encourage you to check it out.
Sweet. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sean. That was great. That was super interesting. I really enjoyed it. I don't know.